I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the
republic
for
which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act of the State of New Jersey, adequate notice of this meeting of the Acorn Harbor City Common Council was provided in the following manner. Advance written notice of this meeting was posted on the Acorn Harbor City Hall bulletin board. Advance notice of this meeting was sent to the Hamilton Gazette, the News, the Press, and the Current. I direct the city clerk to enter these minutes, in the public announcement. The meeting is on. Do that again, Meg.
Okay, I got it.
All right, let's move forward. Roll call.
Mayor Jim Petty.
Here.
Brown. Dash.
Here.
Pice. Donna called me, said he will not be here. Mays.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Richie.
Here.
Ross.
Here. Here.
Sefton.
Here.
Trythov.
Here.
Lello.
Here.
The only one not here is Fight.
Okay. Approve the minutes of the council meeting for July 16th. Can I get a motion?
Richie, so moved.
Second.
Got it.
Got it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Mayor's report.
Jody, can you try to mute again, please?
Mr. President, it has item number 5, public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back that up. All right, let me back that up. Public comments on any of the agenda items. No public comment on any agenda items? All right, number 6, Mayor's report. Sorry about that, Mayor.
Okay, Jody, I guess you did mute. That was a good thing because I don't hear that noise anymore. But all right, so first I'll do the lake report. We sold 1,369 $7 badges for $9,583, 1,430 badges at $10 for $14,300, 154 day badges, or badges at $4. That was the senior citizens and the veterans for $576. Jody, are you muted? Hello? Jody? Wristbands, $5,007, $25,035. Picnic tables, $426 at $6,390. 154 $10 tables at $1,540. And 381 boat rides at $1,905. That brings our total sales as of Sunday to $59,329. 2019 sales at the same date were $87,754, with a variance of $28,000 below last year. Campground payment number one was $2,891, and the total revenue for the lake thus far is $62,220. I'm still hearing that noise there. I don't know.
We all are.
Maybe everybody should mute to see if that helps. I don't know, but maybe we could mute unless we're talking, and then maybe that would help the problem. It seems to come and go. So before I do the rest of my report, I would like to take a moment here to thank some people that helped us through the recent storm that we had put about half the Egg Harbor City residents out of power for a few days. I'd like to thank the fire department, emergency management, public works, the police department, and all the City Hall employees and Atlantic Electric for your help in getting Egg Harbor City up and running. You're, as always, we come through as a team and we get through these difficult situations just as in COVID also. Also, we did have a request for a land donation again. I don't know, Angela, did you put that on your report?
Yes, I have it.
Okay, so I won't go into that, but it's a Angela will explain that a little bit more. It is a property in the industrial park. And also, I had sent out a letter from Denny Levinson regarding, I guess, a joint court for Atlantic County. I have not had any response from City Council about that, and I do have to respond to Denny. So I would like to know how City Council feels about that. I'm assuming everybody read the letter.
Has there been any further information from that letter, Mayor?
No, I've been waiting to respond back to Denny if the town is interested.
My only question is Hamilton going to be involved in it?
I'm sorry, say that again.
My only question is Hamilton going to be one of those courts, or is it just going to be a Mays Landing?
Well, I can't answer for Hamilton, but it says one service in Atlantic County that has seen many positive movement is the merger of municipal courts. There are several municipal court mergers currently in place, such as Linwood, Northfield, among others. So he goes on to say that the county would like to explore the feasibility of the countywide municipal court system. We have two facilities in Mays Landing, the county seat, which would be used for this purpose. We are willing to create a committee to work through the details. The county is also willing to include those towns that have existing court mergers in a countywide system, so they too could benefit from the cost savings. So anytime you partner with the county to do a service, your cost per hundred of assessed value goes down quite significantly. So it's something that they're just asking if they would just like to explore a feasibility study. So I guess he just wants to know if Egg Harbor City would be interested.
Okay.
In doing the feasibility study, correct?
Yeah, and maybe if you could all vote on that, then I'd have a definite answer for him.
All right. Did everybody read it?
Angelo, maybe make an announcement for everybody from the public to mute their phones.
Yeah, everybody from the public to mute their phones until there's time to talk, please.
Mr. President, I did read that, and I think that that would be something that we should explore, you know, as long as it doesn't violate our contract with Hammond, and then we breach that.
Right.
But I think that might be something that would benefit the city and reduce costs. So I'm kind of in favor, you know, at least for exploratory and, you know, to put our name in the, our, you know, Egg Harbor City in the hat, you know, just to, you know, as something that's an interest to us.
Yeah,
Angelo, I think that would be a motion to that we're in support of the county doing a study.
Yeah,
and I would say Scott Treisel made that motion.
Yeah,
I got the
yes,
okay.
I did.
Can I get a second?
Oh, this is
can I get a second on that, please?
I'll second that motion, Dash.
Okay. All in favor?
I got it, Angela.
Aye.
I can't hear you guys.
The Red Bank
Venture
Hospital is now more location.
Angelo,
experiencing an
I think you may need to make several announcements if people continue to dial in to mute their phones.
But remain open 24/7 for your pet.
What's your term? Please mute the phone.
Three. Leave a message on our pharmacy refill line. Press 4. For all other inquiries, press 5. Thank you.
I don't know who that is, but can you please mute that phone? Thank you. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Red Bank Venture.
If you're,
how about we try redialing in, guys?
We are,
this is horrible.
24
it's like a radio channel.
A party line.
Do
you want
to Angela, do you think we should all dial out and redial in?
Yeah, that's what
yes.
we should do. Dial out and dial back in.
All get out.
Everybody out. Call back in.
Announce yourself, please.
It's Bob Ross. I had to get off of mute.
Lisa Jim Petty.
Cody Connor.
Meg.
Ryan.
Sorry, Saul.
Robin and Dustin.
Greetings, Amy.
That's better.
Frankie.
Yes. Okay, Angelo, we're still on the mayor's report.
Yes, we're on item six.
Okay.
So, Mayor, is that a good answer for you?
Did we take a vote?
I
don't remember. I
yes,
remember.
We did a motion by Scott Trifall, seconded by Steve Dash, to that we're in support of this feasibility
right.
study.
Right.
Okay, I will contact. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
I will contact.
All in favor.
Danny Levinson.
Okay, good.
We already got
okay,
that, Angela, but good. Thank you.
Okay.
All
and
right.
Then,
thank you, Mayor. Is that all you got?
No, I got more. Also, the
okay, go ahead.
I wanted to let the county or the council know that the Municipal Alliance grant has been reduced significantly in Egg Harbor City. And I don't know if many of you know about the Municipal Alliance grant, but it pays for a whole host of things that we collaborate with Atlantic Care and the school, Cedar Creek, Egg Harbor City, and the police department. And so it's sad that it's going to be cut, but it's our 2020 and 2021 is $3,634. And I think it was about $12,000, Jody. Can you let
yeah,
me know
uh-huh.
how much that
is? Yeah, it was about $12,000.
So it was cut significantly, so that's going to hurt us in the long run because it did provide a lot of services. One of them was Student of the Month. A lot of other ones in the local school was the behavior incentives and things like that, and drug programs that the kids used to do and things like that. So that's very sad, but hopefully, Jody, next year we may be able to get some of that back. I'm guessing. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll kind of see what happens with all everything that's going on. And then also they're talking about some of the municipalities that have dropped out, that the county's still been allocated their money the last few years. So there may be
right.
Some leftover money from those municipalities that they can
right.
divvy up. And they're going to try to do those on a more need base rather than a population
yeah.
base.
And
Jody,
so
what
know,
is the resolution on the agenda tonight?
That's for those revised amounts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the DARE was also funded by that. So obviously we're not going to, I mean, due to COVID also, but we're not going to be able to have the DARE Olympics this year. So we are one community that really benefited from that money, and we used every penny of it, and we used it wisely. So it's very sad to see that go this year, but hopefully next year we'll get that. Also, there's a transportation alternative set aside program that I believe I emailed to City Council. Ryan, did you get a chance to read that?
Yeah, so that's the same funding that you guys got the bike path on Philadelphia Avenue. That's the one
mm-hmm.
that has the design assistance available and on the construction inspection side funding as well. So it's a great grant. For anything that has to do with, you know, alternative transportation methods, biking, walking, you know, whatever else you can think of.
Right.
So,
and one of the things that caught my eye was historic preservation and rehabilitation of historic transportation, you know, things like that. And also
mm-hmm.
scenic turnout, overlooks, viewing areas, things like that. Like maybe we can do something with the lake, with a pavilion or something like that. I mean, I don't know, but I think that has to be looked at, and it's something that we shouldn't waste if we can get it. So I would ask City Council, if you didn't look at that, to look at it and advise as to how you want to move forward with that. It also has environmental mitigation to address stormwater management, which I'm not sure, Jody, if you have any input on that, but I know we send out things every year about stormwater management.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ryan if he had thought anything would be applicable for us.
So they're having that for anything that's in support of. So if you're making improvements, it's really for mitigation of, you know, any negative impacts that your project would have.
Okay.
But like you said, you know, you get scenic overlooks, you got other things. You know, you have the bike path that you're looking at putting in all the way up Philadelphia Avenue.
Right.
We're the only thing where we're missing a connection. You know, we have a citywide bike path plan to go all the way from the transit station and, you know, where the train station and the bus stops are, all the way out to the lake. The only portion that won't be constructed, as long as we're able to continue moving forward with the rest of our sections that are already funded, will be from Atlantic Avenue to Destewick Street down New Orleans. Other than that, mm-hmm. you know, the path is already there, either fully constructed or funded. So that's the last leg of your path to get from one end to the other.
Right.
So, I mean, that could be an area.
And then also, it has a section here for community improvement activities, specifically streetscaping and corridor landscaping. That could be something mm-hmm. that might be tied into the MPP grant also. So I don't know. But I think it's something that we really have to look at and not let it go fall by the wayside. I did read Ryan's report, and I'm sure he'll bring that up earlier or later on tonight. But I would like to remind City Council that the road on Washington Avenue, the 200 block, is deplorable, and it's really something that has to be a focus of City Council, because if you haven't seen it, I ask you to please go down and look at the 200 block of Washington Avenue and ask yourself if you would like to live on that street, because they need help, and they need us to focus on that road next year or whatever grants come along. So please do that and keep that, you know, the highway, the Public Works and Highway Committee, please keep that as your focus. And then I guess the last thing I want to say is
Mayor, can I interrupt real quick?
Okay.
Could you,
sure,
I just went through my emails and my junk mail and also my personal. I did not receive that. Could you forward that to me, please?
Yeah. I absolutely will. I'm sorry.
Thank
you. Didn't get it. Also, I just want to determine, I guess, tonight, judging from the issues also that we've had tonight with this call, that I believe that it would be prudent to make a decision as to whether you would like to do in-person council meetings now or do a Zoom council meeting, something like that, because I just need to know, because I have awards that were supposed to be given out for 2019 that now we're approaching 2021 and they're still not given out, and I would like these people to be recognized. So I would hope that we don't just go council meeting by council meeting and you make a decision as to whether you want to do the in-person council meetings or maybe graduate to a Zoom council meeting. So I would ask the council to consider that.
We were. I was talking to Angela, and we were talking about possibly having an in-person council meeting starting the first meeting in September.
Okay.
I was going to bring that up shortly, but we were talking about possibly doing it for the first meeting in September. I don't know where you're at with that, Mayor. If you're kind of
yeah,
on
no,
board
that
with
would
that.
Work. That would work is just so long as I know, because if not, I mean, you can't wait much longer. It's going to be,
no.
You know, I got to get these things done here.
Yeah, well, I know because of the jump, I kind of hesitated because I wanted to do it for this month, but when it jumped up a little bit and the governor put the restrictions back up a little bit, I kind of hesitated for that reason. But
This is Meg. I just was wondering, how are we going to work if maybe Angela can weigh in, the social distancing? Is there anything, if it's still going on, are we going to have it remotely? We can in-person and remotely and Zoom? I mean,
Well, I think that's a good point, Meg. Unfortunately, we still have the 6 feet of social distancing, the masks, and the governor has precluded indoor gatherings of greater than 25 people, which is why we're still on the phone. So great. Hopefully we can do an open meeting in September, but it may still not pan out. If you would like, we could do a Zoom meeting, which would require everyone to have internet access and good internet access in order to log in.
Can we still have remote over the phone, Angela? We probably could do both, right?
We could do, well, the problem with both is, and I know we've done a few with Ryan. He has a device that he hooks up. But even with, and maybe Ryan can speak on that device, even with that device, you still have to log in so that some people are there in the council mm-hmm. chambers and some people are on the computer. We could have a hybrid,
Angela,
like that.
Are we allowed to have council only in-house and everybody else dial in?
Yep.
Yeah,
we could do that, but the problem with that is that we're not going to, everyone has to be on the phone. Everyone has to hear, and unless each council person has his phone on with a number, they're not going to be able to hear. We already tried that at one of the meetings, and that didn't work.
We're
going to
hear what?
We're going to hear each other.
This is Scott.
No, the public. I mean, the public's going to be on the phone. But unless we're also on that phone, on that line, they're not going to be able to hear what you're doing.
Right. And I think Jody can weigh in with that budget workshop. Jody, wasn't that hard?
Yeah, it was really – I'm sure there's other services you could use. I mean, every town and every school is doing it, you know, in a different manner. I don't think every one place is doing it the same. I mean, we could do what we're doing with video. There is a video option on this. Like, people could still call in. If you don't have video, you just call in. If you want to use video, you could use the video. You just would log on through the computer if you wanted to do the video on it. But you could still just call in and do it, you know, via phone if you wanted to just be in via phone.
Ryan, what was that device you used during our water plant meetings?
Yeah, there's a bunch of services that do it, but we've had pretty good success, you know, setting up a mixed meeting where people can call in via phone, you can join on the computer, and you can set it up on a computer and a webcam, you know, with stereo. As long as we can manage the number of people and try to figure out where we're going to be, I'm sure you could set up some kind of hybrid configuration.
Hey, guys.
Well, I think maybe that might be in September. We can do a hybrid.
Okay.
Some folks can go to council chambers. That way the mayor can give out her awards. Some folks can be on the
council. Angela, my concern, we do have 9 council people and the mayor, so that's quite a bit with the social distancing. But we can work on it. Anybody, I hear Scott trying to come in, but I will do whatever. Like, Scott, give me a call. We can try to work it out, see what we can do to move forward to make them in person.
Well, what I was going to say is we have an emergency management coordinator that we have a pandemic. He's the one that has to determine if we can open up and how many people that we can see, if we can see. So we need to run it by him. Yeah, I'm just saying it's like, you know, we're making all these plans without talking to the emergency management coordinator.
That's what I'm saying. Let's see what we can do and see if this is even feasible. It was my point.
Well, the amount of people we have in council and the clerk and the Jody or whatever else comes in, we have plenty of space for us to be in there. The issue is Ryan sets up these meetings we had. He sets his computer up, and the public could call into that, and they can sit. There's a camera that can see all of us. So we have plenty of room for 9 council people and 3 or 4 other people in there. We can move around the room. We don't have to sit up at the desk.
Right.
So
I don't think we have plenty of room because you have an engineer, you have a city clerk, you have the
that room holds 8 some
attorney.
People, right?
No, but I think that too. We can. These are things we can look into to have it live.
And if you don't want to come, then you call in. But I'm getting sick of this. Where we can't even have normal conversations. We have disruption on the phone. This is we're getting nothing done. It's just dragging out.
I hear you.
Listen,
All right, listen, everybody. There is another possible option that we can look into for everybody to think about is maybe we could talk to the union hall and we could do it there because of
right.
how
I
large
was,
the facility
very good idea.
Is.
Very good, Angela.
So I could talk to Mark and see if he's okay with that. If everybody's on board with that, I will talk to him to see if we could do it for the next meeting.
Right. Let's look into that. I agree, Angela. That's a very good idea. I think let's see how that, or even the school, a bigger room. Right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I'll check with Marcus, and maybe we could check the school. But I think at the Union Hall, and we could just, you know, once we get our number in there, then we could just limit as people come in, say what they got to say,
right.
and then they got to leave. That way, it gives
exactly.
everybody the opportunity.
Very good idea.
Okay.
Good idea, Angela.
Okay, so I'll talk to him. I have a meeting with him on the 24th anyway, so I'll discuss that with him then.
Yeah, and then we'll get with Angela and see what we have to do, like advertisement-wise and legally how that could play out.
Yes. All right,
good.
I'll work
Thank
at
you.
It. All right. Committee
Anything
report.
Else, Mayor?
That's all.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Thank you. That's
okay.
Thank you.
All right. All right, number 7, committee reports. Finance redevelopment, Bob. You there, Bob?
We'll probably
Bob.
Dial back.
No,
okay.
Sorry, I was on
Safety.
Mute. I was on mute.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
I hate
finance redevelopment, Bob.
All right, we had tax collections, and I just lost it now. Wait a second. To date, our current month, we had $932,000, almost $933,000 collected. Year to date, $5,736,000,000. And the other thing was utility report monthly. The current month, $236,400. And I'm rounding these off. And $1,100,000. And that's all I have for the finance.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Safety, Joe?
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah,
you there?
I'm here. All right. So, yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
So for the fire department, Chief Kinsley attended the safety committee. He hit on some things. Since COVID has hit in March, their call volume has been lower than normal, along with their fundraising, unfortunately, has been lower than normal due to the COVID. They have applied for an air mask washer decon unit through coronavirus AFG grant. After every job they go out on, they've been sanitizing their apparatus inside and out with a special unit they use with their SCBA. For those that don't know what SCBA stands for, it's a self-contained breathing apparatus. South Egg Harbor Fire Department has given our department 24 spare SCBA bottles. The department has received a $5,000 grant from South Jersey Gas that has been used for Nomex hoods and structural firefighting gloves. They received a matching fund $18,000 forest fire service grant for turnout gear that was used for turnout gear and pagers. So you guys know turnout gear on average is about $4,000 to $6,000 per person it costs. They have applied with Galloway on a regionalized grant for air packs. They also applied through the AFG grant for a ladder truck, which I brought to attention at the very first safety committee meeting back in January, I think it was, due in part to the aging condition of ours. I just want to make mention, it's imperative that we as a city find a way in the future to get our department a new ladder truck. Eventually, this is going to become a matter of life and death, not only for the citizens, but possibly for our guys. So we really need to look into that. I know there's going to be excuses served of why we can't or how we can't or whatever the case is. But it needs to happen, and we need to find a way for it to happen. So we just got to keep that in the back of our mind. The other thing is, once the COVID is gone or near gone, I will be looking into having all the apparatus and patrol cars fully sanitized again at no cost to the city. As far as the police department, Director Emmer was there in attendance. He advised us that he is in the process of conducting a top-to-bottom review of the department to see where the need is for training. He also advised us that there's a hiring process in place for the three that are budgeted for the year for 2020. As some may have noticed already, which he told us it was going to happen as of August 1st, we now have the sheriff's department in town, two patrol units from 8 to 4 and 4 to 12 that he had reached out to and requested. And then he also informed us that he was informed that there is money available in the MPP grant for overtime for patrol on Philadelphia Avenue, which I'm sure he'll touch on. Director Emmer, if you're online, maybe you can touch on that with your report. And then, unfortunately, I sent an email to OEM hoping that he would be in attendance because we had questions with how the IAP was going in relation to the COVID incident, if there was even an IAP written, because the safety committee has yet to even see an IAP written for the COVID incident. So other than that, that's all I have for the safety committee report.
Okay. I'd also like to thank Mark's daughter, Karen, who brought it to our attention about the sheriff's department people that were available. She gave a shout out that they were available, and I'd like to thank her for thinking about us and helping us out with that. All right, highway. Okay, so first off, I want to put out there, as the mayor did, the fire department. They were over here on Liverpool and Camp Street, and I was amazed. Them guys just have at it. The mayor's husband was there, and he was also helping. I wasn't sure if he was part of the fire company or not, but they have at it. Them guys are incredible. If people have never seen them do stuff, they should have witnessed it, because it was something to see. Them guys went to work. They got that tree off there. They sealed that house up and made it watertight so that there was no leaking inside the house to save from any other damage. That's the first one. Second one is the highway guys, the public works guys, and utilities guys. I'll tell you what. They were out there. They got, after that storm hit, the trees were cleared on all the main streets. They got them off to the side, and they had at it all week. And they came in on Saturday and got all the streets finished up, cleared. Them guys are still at it. They're still working on the alleys and some of the back areas that they didn't get to immediately. Keith and the water department guys, they were out there. They were literally out there all night Tuesday night because there was no power, and Wednesday until they got power, taking care of the sewers so that everybody in this city were able to use their toilets. I mean, they went pump station to pump station with generators and were running these, fueling them up with gas and running back and forth till I think it was like 2:30 in the morning. All right, them guys had at it. And also the city people, just the people in this city in general. I have never seen so many people out there just giving a helping hand. Tom Hottie came out with his law to move some bigger trees. There was guys out there. I went out to the park on Saturday. I had guys that were over there charging their phones because they had no power. Todd Burrell, Ray, I can't remember his name now, but there was three guys out there. Let me tell you, them guys just jumped in. They saw me starting to pick up branches, and they just jumped in, and they helped me for probably 4 or 5 hours picking up. This city, when time is bad, they really do kick it in, and they get it done. And them guys, I mean, that's pretty much all I have with them guys, but they get it done. I'll tell you what, I give them a lot of credit because they just had at it until it was done.
And Mr. President, this is Joe. Also, Nick Riff is out on the north end, did a hell of a job with the electric company helping them out, too.
Just the public, just the people in general in public. I mean, there was a guy over on Washington Avenue, Chris. He was out there with his whole family. They picked up all the branches on the 100 block on their own and was taking them over to the city just to help out. just to help get the streets cleared. I was amazed. I drove around and I just could not believe how many people were out there just pulling branches, just getting them off the road so that people could drive through and had parking spaces and stuff. It was I was pretty amazed. Let's go to code enforcement. Steve?
Sorry, So we had a code enforcement meeting last week, and that was a follow-up meeting that we had with some residents on St. Louis Avenue that had some concerns. During the code enforcement meeting, we discussed several different issues. One of them was a continuation of the conversation we had about the bamboo and the need for an ordinance. President Lilo was there, and we had asked that he throw it to ordinance to see if we can strengthen the bamboo ordinance to prevent any future planting of it, and that's about it.
All right, and I will say I spoke to Angela, and we are going to look at probably a very good possibility that we're just going to, from this point going forward, remove the bamboo from not being allowed to be grown in the city. But we're going to, me and Angela's going to work on that, and hopefully by next council meeting we'll have an ordinance set up for that, to get that taken care of. But
great, thank you.
Is that all you got, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, parks and playgrounds. Donna's not here, Joe?
We were unable to reschedule the meeting. The only thing that I would like to address tonight was Ryan.
My name is Barbara. I'm Egg Harbor City OEM.
Okay. The only thing I would like to address with Ryan tonight is the solar. So, Ryan, when you get to your engineer's report, we'll discuss that, okay?
Sure. I can talk about some of the things for parks and playgrounds concerning the lake. The lifeguards were scheduled the day after the storm, and they cleaned up all the debris on the lake. They cleaned up all the debris on the streets going into the lake and all the trash that was in the lake and the trash barrels. They also helped to rope off some of the areas that were dangerous, and they did that along with emergency management. There's still a tree down that has to be removed, but it was in the electrical wires, and the insurance company went out, and we do have to replace the fence on the campground and also the golf course. So the tree took out that electric, and I believe that has been rectified since then. We're going to have a new fence and a new fence for the golf course also replaced. We will be responsible for a $1,000 deductible, but other than that, hopefully we'll get the $1,000 deductible back through FEMA, and all will be well with the world. So we're back in operation at the Egg Harbor City Lake. Thanks to all the lifeguards and the crossing guards who were there to clean up the day after the storm.
Angela?
All right. Yes.
Angela, Barbara yes. Adams from OEM has logged on, and I think Councilman Ritchie had some questions for them. She's on the line now.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Barb, how you doing? How were you notified that I was asking for you?
I actually was coming in earlier, but got waylaid with babysitting. I was actually coming to the meeting tonight just to see how things were going.
Oh,
I didn't realize
okay.
you were looking for me.
Okay. I was just wondering how the IAP is going.
How the IAPs are going?
Yeah. For COVID?
They're going.
Do we have an IAP?
Yeah, we have one at all times.
IAP, incident action plans, they're specific to incidents.
Yes.
What's IAP mean?
Incident action plan.
Okay.
I had a question.
Okay.
This is the Councilman Trithall. I brought it up at the safety committee meeting. I was just curious. I know we have the 4-year plan for the city in place. My question was, is as an elected official responsible, I was just wondering, I have not been notified about anything that been dealing with the city in conjunction with any FEMA, any county stuff. And like I said, instant action plan is a determined plan for a specific amount of time for an incident that takes place. And I was just wondering, you know, I see in the bills list we have, you know, we put money out for certain things, but, you know, I've questioned about it, you know, about what is actually happening, what is going on, you know, because I haven't had any information as part of that, and I'm on the committee as well. That's why I was asking, that's why Councilman Ritchie brought up as the chair, because I brought it up for, to him, you know, as part of emergency management.
Let me just say, any questions you have, you are more than welcome to send me an email. I will do my best to answer them. We do have action plans in place. We daily get emails from the county, submit emails to the county. We have something, which I do believe you know, Scott, as e-teams that we log into on a weekly basis or thereabouts. That connects to FEMA, the state.
I know because I'm part of the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center,
right?
And yeah, and all that. That's why I was just asking because we have our incident action plan. So I do my Form 214s usually every week to fill out for FEMA. That's why I was just wondering what you know we have. You know, there's meetings that we, as part of the fire department, police department, emergency management, and all that, and also council members. That's what I was just wondering. You know, I haven't gotten any correspondence. And, yes, I do understand, but,
I've never
you know,
been
with the E-teams.
Of any of these meetings. I know nothing of them.
What meaning is that?
Any of the meetings. You're saying there's meetings with fire, with police, with...
Oh, no. I was giving an example. What I was saying was is that... You know, there are cities out there that are doing the that are notifying their elected officials. That's why I was just wondering, because I have reached out through the council president about what, you know, what the plans are for the city, you know, in terms of the COVID incident. That's why I was just curious about that. And that's why I brought up the Public Safety Committee.
Okay, well, like I said, if you want to get together, a list of questions, whatever, submit them to me in an email. Or I will sit and meet with all of you, however you want to do it, and we can go over everything. I don't want to take up all this with a while you're in council session tonight.
All right, then why don't the safety committee set up a meeting with OEM and they can meet maybe next week or something like that, and then come to the next meeting we could get a fill in on it. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah, Councilman Richard, did you reach out to them when we had the public safety meeting?
Yes, they were CC'd on the email. I will CC them again for the next safety committee meeting, which will be in September.
When was your last public
safety committee
meeting?
The next, I will CC.
Public safety meeting.
The next scheduled safety committee.
No, when was your last?
No, I think she was asking when was the last meeting.
Okay, the previous meeting was on.
August 17th.
Thank you.
Okay, because the last correspondence I have from you is July 9th, stating that...
July the 17th is what it was.
July the 17th. No, it wasn't July the 17th.
Well, that the meeting would be postponed until July 21st at 6:30 in the evening. That was the
last
correspondence I had from you.
Yep, that's when the meeting was. The meeting was on July 21st at 6:30.
And was that a call-in meeting as well?
No, I believe it specifically said in person at City Hall.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get a meeting set up with you guys and put another date out, Joe, when you get a chance. Just make sure either Barb or Bob have it, and that way we can move on with this and get this straightened out and get a little better information going forward. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah, I have a comment, Angelo. This is the mayor. I would like to comment on this.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know what this issue is going on here, but emergency management are two volunteers who have worked 24/7 since COVID started throughout COVID and throughout the storm that we just had. They do not get paid. They are volunteers filling in a void so to save the taxpayers of Egg Harbor City money. And I am very thankful for them that we have two highly qualified individuals that devote their time and their lives to this. Okay? And I don't know what the issue is going on here, you know, but they've done a fantastic job, and I support them 100%. Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Bob.
And Mayor, let me add this, Mayor. You have people on council. You have a captain of a career fire department. You have a battalion chief of a career fire department. You have an individual with police training. You have three military veterans. You don't think any of us are highly qualified to volunteer our time for OEM?
You can volunteer.
We would welcome any volunteers we could get.
Did you ask any of us for any of our input on OEM?
Yeah.
Did you ask any one of us for our input?
Okay, well, Bob had a meeting when this first COVID incident
started.
I'm
not asking that. Did you personally ask any one of us? Did you personally ask any one of us? All right.
Well,
all right.
I'm not understanding why you have to be asked. You can be cantankerous if you want to. However, you know, when Egg Harbor
because the answer to the question is no. You did not take the initiative to utilize the individuals on council with the professional training they have to help you and the volunteers on OEM with the situation at hand. Thank you.
Well, I am finished with the conversation. You can get into an argument with me because you're running for mayor. That's fine. But the problem is that we
underutilized your people.
President Lilo, you need to take control of the meeting.
All right, let's get in order. Thank you.
We have a code book that specifically states what the rules are of engagement. So you should probably read that before you make fallacious accusations against me.
Okay, let's get in order. Let's move on now. Ordinances and licensing. Okay, I had an ordinance meeting the other night. I had an ordinance meeting on Tuesday night. We spoke of the bamboo. We spoke of the ordinance with the farm animals, and there's a couple others that I was looking through the ordinance book that me and Angela looked at that we may need to make some adjustments on going forward. So we will go forward, and we will start with some of these that just literally say nothing. They have it's an ordinance that doesn't do anything. So Angela's very familiar with it, and she's going to help me take a look at it and see what we need to do, and we'll get the committee together again and go through it so we can get it squared away. All right? Land use board. Bob?
No, we haven't had a meeting. I believe it's at the end of this month. The next
okay.
one.
All right. School board. Scott or Mattia?
The last meeting I was unable to log into Zoom. I don't think Mattia was able to either at the time. So when we hear anything more about what the school's going to do with COVID and everything else, I'll just address the council and the city.
All right.
Councilwoman Brown, I was supposed to call back one of the contacts that I have that's actually on the school board to kind of brief me on what happened. I kind of got distracted, so I'll call her tomorrow, and then I'll brief Scott, and then we'll know what's going on. You know, if there's anything we need to, like, emergencyly put out as far as the school reopening or maybe information that parents might need or anything like that. I'll get that information to Scott by tomorrow.
Okay. Hey, Mattia, whatever information you get like that, please let Meg know. That way she could put it on the website also. That way some people, if they're looking, they can look there also.
Not a problem.
All right. Thank you. Jeff, Meg?
Oh, wait a minute. Don't you want utility?
Sorry. That was Len. I was going to hit you next.
Go ahead.
All right.
You can go first.
Okay.
All right.
You're up.
Utility. We had one of the basically the final negotiation phase of the sale of the water department, and we've come to an agreement. It's got to be formalized, and right now I'd like Ryan to speak to it, and he'd probably be better to answer some of the questions if you have questions. But tonight we want to put it up for a vote to move along with the sale. We want council's approval to continue. Ryan?
Yeah. So I'll start by first saying that the only action that we're looking for this evening is a vote for the solicitor to prepare the agreement. The agreement that we have, like Bob said, we've come to terms that we you know, as the utility committee and New Jersey American Water are agreeable to. We're presenting it to council, full council, for the first time tonight. there'll be additional public meetings. You know, we're talking amongst ourselves. We think we should have another public meeting dedicated just for this, so the public has an opportunity to come out and get additional information and ask questions or whatever. But through the negotiation process, where we landed is we've agreed to, at least in principle, a purchase price of $21.8 million and a rate reduction of 5% on the city's water rates. So,
what about the flat fee?
So, what we looked at is the average rate comparison. So, the city has its rates broken out a couple of different ways. New Jersey American has a similar, you know, sort of flat charge and rate. And what we looked at was the average customer who uses about 4,000 gallons a month. So, we're still working on the details, but the agreement in principle is to reduce the total amount you're paying for water. So just these round numbers, if your average water user who's using 4,000 gallons a month is paying $50 a month right now, I know you bill quarterly, but, you know, just to stick with the example, a 5% reduction would bring that bill down to $45 a month. So, again, we still have the numbers to sort out in the background for exactly how that could look. There's different tiers, you know, for the meter charges based on the different meter sizes and all that. So we still have to sort out the details, but that's the agreement in concept, is that, you know, the average user's bill will be reduced at 5% on the water rates. New Jersey American's rates are actually almost 30%. The water rates are almost 30% lower than yours, and their sewer rates are a bit higher. In aggregate, for the average user, their rates are about somewhere between 12 and 15% lower, if I recall. And when they go for a rate case hearing in 2 years, they will adjust the city's rates to their regional rates, which are, you know, the same for all the adjacent municipalities. originally, when we started the negotiation, they wanted to just keep the rates where we were at. And we, you know, pushed back and said, look, you know, we're trying to bring relief to the ratepayers of the city. We're trying to show that selling a system has a benefit. You know, it's great that things are going to go down 2 years, but we really need to bring something back for everyone right now. And that's where we ended up with a 5% rate reduction on the water side.
Well, the other thing, Ryan, that we should mention is that we did want to push this a little bit further up so that American Water has a chance to come and go before the taxpayers and explain their proposal, so that the taxpayers know exactly what their water bill is going to be like. That's the important part. We can sit here and say 5% or whatever, but I want to see, and as do all the other citizens of Egg Harbor, would like to see exactly what our water bill is going to look like when this takeover or sale takes place. So that is going to happen.
Well, that's what Ryan said. We're setting up a meeting where New Jersey Water is going to come and make a presentation on what it means to the city, what the sale means to the city. So that is going to happen.
Yes, I'm trying to set that up now.
Yeah, they want to come in and, you know, give you a sort of comprehensive and holistic presentation so you can understand, you know, all aspects of the sale, and not just for the utility committee members. I mean, you know, the members on the utility committee have some continuity. You know, they're very familiar with it. They have a very good understanding of where we're at. You know, but we're at the point now where we need to educate all of the members and the public.
Ryan, this is Meg. What do you need from us tonight?
Right, tonight what we're looking for is council to vote on a resolution authorizing the solicitor to prepare the agreement of sale. And again, it's just preparing it, you know, getting all the terms in order, and then we'll have at least one, possibly two more meetings to, you know, go over everything, and you know, all the members will have times to review all the terms in detail. You know, not just the number and rate reduction, but the full agreement, which the agreement is like 40 pages or so. So there's a lot of detail and a lot of information that goes into it.
So, Angela, do you think we could offer that tonight?
One second. Ryan?
Yes.
Ryan, what I'd like to do is I'd like to see when I go to talk to the union hall, one of the other reasons I was going there was to see if we could set up a meeting so that we can get the public to come in and discuss it, you know, to have their input on this. So this, what you're asking for tonight, this doesn't lock us into anything, correct?
Correct. All this does is authorize the solicitor to prepare the draft agreement. It's a lengthy document. There are a lot of terms in it. You know, we've been negotiating and we've sorted out, some of the details, but there's a lot of nuts and bolts and things that need to get put together still.
Angela, I think, Ryan, didn't you say that we're going to have a meeting with the public?
Yeah, we've discussed potentially having a meeting dedicated just for this, having a dedicated public meeting to meet just this sale of this process.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about, that I want to try this up. I mean, maybe we could do it also at the Union Hall because of the size of it, and we could just figure out group-wise what we could bring in and out so that people can hear it and try to figure it out, or maybe do it at the school where it's a lot bigger and we can spread it out further.
Yeah, I think that would be good, hosting it, you know, online or via phone as well for those who don't want to attend in person. I think would be a nice compliment. But, you know, again, this is the first one to go through the WIPA process. Every other sale to this point has resulted in a referendum at the end for an up or down, you know, a vote. And that's not how this process will close. So we think it's important to set the precedent of, you know, look, we're still involving the public. We want everyone to know what's going on. We want everyone to understand and sort of digest the process and why we're doing this, and you know that this is the right move. So.
Right. Okay.
Ryan, this is Joe. Just to piggyback on what Angelo initially asked you, so quarterly we have a $40 and a $70 flat fees that are added onto the bills. Are those fees going bye-bye with the sale of the plant?
So New Jersey American doesn't have those fees. They have a fixed portion, and they have a variable portion based on usage. The aggregate of their total rates for a 4,000 gallon a month user is, again, somewhere between around 30% lower than what yours are now. What we've agreed to with them is to drop the aggregate, so the total, if you add everything together, drop that 5%. So it's not like a single fee will go away. It's whatever that total bill, whatever the resulting number is at the end, that is what we've agreed to.
I'd like to use my bill as an example because my bill is real simple. My quarterly bill is $220. So without the $110 of flat rate, my regular water bill is $110. Is my bill going to be $110 minus the 5%, or is my bill going to be that $220 minus the 5%?
It would be the aggregate. It would be the total of that. So it would be the $220 minus 5%.
So those flat rates ain't going away.
We looked at the
generally
total.
Generally speaking, for the infrastructure and the funding that we have on that plant is not really going away.
You guys sort of added it as a standalone surcharge, but that's a means of collection, really. It's not a
exactly.
You know, it's just the mechanism to sort of break it out, and frankly, for the city to be able to allocate it because it did have a dedicated purpose. It's not like it's a direct comparable. It's not like New Jersey American doesn't have that, and you do. You know, we're looking at the aggregate of what the total rate structure is.
All right, look, I'd like to have a – Ryan, I'll give you a holler, and I'd like to have a sit-down with you just to get a little more discussion with this, but let's do, or is everybody okay with the preparation of this for the attorney to prepare for this? Could I get a motion?
We need a motion.
I make a motion, Dad.
Can I get a second?
I'll second. Motion, Dash. Second, Brown.
Okay. Just so we're clear, this is just to consider the document, correct?
Correct.
Yes, that's correct.
This is the draft.
Okay, this is just a draft. Okay, all in favor?
No, I need a roll call.
Okay,
yes.
Roll call.
Brown?
Yes.
Dash?
Yes.
Mays?
Yes.
Richie?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Septon?
Yes.
Trithall?
Yes.
Lello?
Yes. Okay. Director of Public Safety, Mr. Emmer, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor, President, the Council, Lello, Council members, and those of the public that are there. Before I start my actual report, I just want to give you a heads up. Last night, one of our officers, Officer Carpo, was on patrol on US 30. He clocked the car at 61 miles an hour. He turned around to stop that car. When he stopped that car, there were two occupants in the car. He smelled an odor of marijuana, which led to a search of the car, which uncovered a loaded 380 pistol stuffed right down along the driver's seat where the driver could have reached it, a small amount of marijuana, and $13,000 in U.S. currency, which we were able to seize. So that just gives you an idea of what they're doing out there and the seriousness of what they're doing. You know, there are a lot of guns. There's a lot of guns out there. They're very careful. And this is the first major arrest since I've been here, and I'm very, very impressed with the professionalism of the officers that we have, the way it was handled. I was really pleased with it this morning. So that's just to give you an idea of what, you know, of one thing that they're doing out there. I have July's report. I just want to give you a basic breakdown of how much work they do. In the month of July, the police department handled 7 burglaries, 1 fraud, one sexual assault, 5 simple assaults, 3 stolen motor vehicles, 12 thefts, 12 motor vehicle accidents. They conducted 87 traffic stops. They handled 1 DUI arrest, 17 business alarms, 8 alarms in residential. They conducted 87 crime prevention activities. They handled 3 criminal mischief, 10 domestic disputes, 38 EMS reports. They handled 23 firearm applications, conducted 12 follow-up investigations, did 197 property checks, and 10 public service calls. So that gives you an idea how busy our department is. And again, I want to send kudos out to them guys. The other thing is, Councilman Ricky said, we have the Sheriff's Department to thank for sending us some extra help here. We have 2 officers during the day shift and 2 officers during 4 to 12 shift. And if people have noticed, it greatly enhanced our ability, you know, the way they're stopping cars and writing tickets and really helping keep Bay Carver City safe. So, I can't be more pleased with the way the guys are doing. Okay?
Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
How's with the amount of police departments that we have at this point, how's our overtime doing?
Oh, overtime?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? Overtime, I think overtime's getting to be where it's going to be a little hectic. We're getting close to, and Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're getting close to our budgeted overtime right now.
No, we're way over our budgeted overtime right now, but as it stands now with the other categories in the budget, because I do a cash flow analysis each pay period for the police department, we still are in the black right now, okay? So if
anything good.
Changes, that's separate. Mark, I did send you the last pay period anyway.
Right,
so
I do have
you
it.
Know this. It's about $30,000. Yep. We should be in the good for the end of the year.
Which should carry us through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
we'll.
The other thing,
OE.
The other thing the other thing I think should be noted is that, I mean, with the overtime situation, I think the mayor has had the foresight to see that it may be a problem. And, you know, at her insistence, we initiated a hiring process, and which will greatly help us in the future as far as our overtime. She had called for a list from civil service, which we got. We reviewed the list, and we've actually done some background investigations on the people, and we forwarded them, you know, where she's going to be able to make a consideration. So, it puts us in a real good position in that if we do run into where we're going to have a problem with overtime, we should be in a position with some extra people that are budgeted that you know, we should be able to resolve that in the favor of the city.
All right. Any other questions for Mark? No? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. City Clerk?
Yes, I just have two things. One is a motion to approve. We did get a letter from the Rotary Club of Mays Landing, Egg Harbor City. If at all possible, if we can with COVID, they would like to hold the Halloween parade on October 23rd, which is a Friday night, same route as last year. But I just need a motion to approve in case everything is okay and we can move forward like we have in the past.
Okay, could I get a motion?
So move, Richie.
Second.
Try to call second.
All right. All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. I got that. My second thing is, way back when when this all started, we asked for an extension on dog license and cat license late fees.
Yes.
Once we said City Hall reopened, we were only going to give we said 30 days to come in. I'm asking, if you don't want to, that's fine, but I'm just asking if we possibly could just extend that, maybe possibly to the end of the year, just fill it. Like get through 2020 with not charging people late fees, only because a lot of people are confused and they're coming in and they're trying, and I don't know. It's up to you guys, but I'm asking maybe council to consider waiving that late through the fee through the year if you so choose. Like I said, I've experienced people are a little confused with coming into City Hall if they're loud and this and that. And it would be helpful if we could have a plan in place just to say no late fees until, you know, we get through COVID or, I don't know, if you so choose. If not, we can charge the late fees. But I kind of feel bad when people are coming in not understanding the process.
Okay. Look, Meg, I think what we could do here with this is if you put it out on the website that if we hold this late fee issue and we decide to do it, let's say I'm thinking
we said the last resolution that as soon as City Hall reopened, we would give everybody 30 days. Which,
right.
I'm just thinking we're already coming into September, you know, like there's not too many people coming in to renew. And then
How many have you put out?
We're about 130 in our license, and which is common for us. But I'm just asking if you guys you think that we should charge a late fee.
Angela, why don't you let it go for the entire year? Just let it go for the entire year this time.
What's our average? Meg?
Usually we're about 140 on license, 150. But we did say when we passed the resolution to waive the late fee when we were closed, we did say we would consider maybe we would revisit it when City Hall reopened. So that's why I'm bringing it up again.
Meg, I personally would waiving it until the end of the year. Not the license fees, but the late fee.
Right. That's kind of what we were saying, that maybe, and truthfully, the people that have come in have been a little confused, you know, and we have tried to get it out there. I've had it on the website, put it here, but there still is a lot going on with COVID, so when people come in for their license, they're kind of shook up, they forgot, you know what I mean?
Okay, so
Mr. President, this is Scott. I make a motion that we waive the fee for the lateness
for the animal licenses for the rest of the year.
All right, can I get a second on that?
Second, Brown.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Can we do a roll call?
That's to the end of the year, Meg.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
I ask everybody that is listening to please make every attempt to go in. If you're not sure, please call and talk to Meg or Jackie about coming in and what you need to bring with you
right.
to get this done, please.
All
right.
That's all I have. Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
All right. City Attorney, Angela?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Good evening. The good news is that 335 Boston Avenue closed this afternoon. So
hooray!
Yay. Yay. So that was good news, and the check for $85,000 should be arriving probably tomorrow.
All right.
On the properties that we're getting the title searches on, the DePutter property came in very well. It doesn't have any liens. The only thing I need from Miss DePutter are the death certificates from her grandparents, and then I think we can take over that property, which was at 229 Chicago. The four lots for Keener, the title company hasn't given me any lien information on those, so I expect those any day now. Wazin wants to give the city two properties at the industrial park. It's 1520 Moss Mill Road and 1602 Moss Mill Road. I think they look like good properties, and I think we should get a title search on those so we can look into accepting those properties as well. What do you all think about that, the properties on Moss Mill Road?
How large, what's the value of those, what's the number on those properties, do you know?
No, I don't know what the value of the properties are.
Okay, so we have to get that worked out, correct?
Correct.
Is there any environmental impact on that? With like
I don't think so.
There's no environmental impact on industrial properties there. And it would be a benefit to the city to acquire those properties because it's a negotiating factor with people that want to come into the city with a business. At least you have
Absolutely.
A property available to them.
Absolutely. So those we will take those. Absolutely. I'm in agreement with that.
Angela, do we need any type of resolution? Are you looking for any resolution or anything for this?
I just need everyone, if you agree to it, just let me know. Do a vote. Do a motion and a vote.
Right. All right. Could I get a motion on that?
So moved.
This is for the Wazin property?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Could I get a motion on that? Brown made a motion. Could I get a second?
All right. It's all
second, Sefton.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. Go ahead, Angela, you still?
Yep, I have, for your consideration, resolution number 13, adopting the employee COVID-19 out-of-state travel policy. As you all know, the governor implemented travel restrictions on persons coming in from 19 states and the date, and the states change on a daily basis. Anyone coming into New Jersey from these 19 states has to quarantine for 14 days, which presents a problem for any of the city employees. So this travel policy will basically say that anyone coming in from those states or choosing to go to those states and then coming back to New Jersey would have to quarantine for 14 days, but they also have to have a COVID test. And if the test, of course, comes out positive, they need to quarantine. If it comes out negative, they can notify their supervisor and they can come back to work. If a test comes out positive, however, they'll have to use their own time or any sick vacation, comp, or personal time for the quarantine because it was their choice to go out of state or go out of state to the 19 states that have high COVID levels. So I think this is something that you should consider for passage on the resolution, and then I'll make it part of the employee
manual. Michelle, go near the room.
I was just going to close up one.
Go ahead. Do what you need to do. You didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, that's on here, Angela. We'll go down, and once we get to that, we will vote on that.
Okay, great. And then finally, the foreclosed properties, as you all know, George gave us a list of values for the properties, and we looked into different avenues for conducting the public sale. So it looks like we're going to go with the real auction. We're going to post it on the website. We're going to try to do social media, and then we're going to publish it in the Philadelphia Inquirer to give us a bigger audience for the sale of these properties. Also, we're just going to do the properties that have a decent value. Most of them have $10,000 to $15,000 value at the minimum, but we're not going to do the ones that have $500 value because I don't think it's worth the expense to do that at this point in time. So we're talking about 7 or 8 properties, and that should happen probably in about 30 days. So that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Thank
Angela.
You, Angela.
Any questions for Angela? Okay. Let's go to number 11, resolution.
Hey, excuse me just a second. Angela, if you could just repeat what you had said about the 229 Chicago property.
The 229 Chicago Pop property, the Putter property, came back as having no lien issues. The only thing the title company would need would be the 2 death certificates for De Putter's grandparents in order to make sure they're actually deceased, that the title could be properly transferred if the city were to sell the property. And I spoke to Miss De Putter. She's gathering up the death certificates. She's going to send them to me, and so that property should be good to go for the city to acquire.
Great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Any other questions? All right. Let's go to number 11, resolution, commending the first responders in Egg Harbor City.
I didn't know you put the other one on.
I hope everybody saw it, because this would be a long read. Has everybody seen this resolution? Meg put it out with the agenda. If everybody read it, can I get a motion on it? If not, we can get it right.
Angela, it's honoring the agriculture, just the public works facility. Okay.
The volunteer fire company, Office of Emergency Management, Galloway Township Ambulance Services.
Correct.
All right. Can I get a motion on it?
I know it's a long
motion. Motion.
Go ahead, Scott. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I know it's a long read, but I think this is an important one that we should read, and you know, just so the public can hear everything. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I think this
Angela,
one,
would you like me to read that?
Sure, that would
Go
be
ahead,
great,
Meg.
Thank you.
Okay. A resolution honoring the Egg Harbor City Public Works, Utility Departments, the Egg Harbor City Volunteer Fire Department, the Egg Harbor City Office of Emergency Management, and the Galloway Township Ambulance Services. The City of Egg Harbor wishes to honor the selfless and heroic services provided by the men and women of these departments. During the current statewide emergency caused by COVID-19 pandemic and the recent devastating storms, these bodies have served selflessly, tirelessly, and continuously. The City of Egg Harbor considers these departments to be among the finest in the state of New Jersey. These men and women, by their distinctive service and dedicated efforts, have earned our highest respect and deepest gratitude. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City of Egg Harbor, County of Willamette, State of New Jersey, that the city recognizes these departments for their heroic service of service.
Before we vote on this, I'd like to get the police department added in on this. I see it's not on here.
It is on it. They skipped it.
The Egg Harbor City Police Department is on there.
Yes,
I'm sorry. It is in there.
All right. Could I get a motion on that?
So moved.
I did have Dash and Brown.
Okay. You need a roll call on this, or just a...
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. Number 12, approved Teamsters contract addendum for the water repairer and Labor of One motor broom driver. This is for Tim Foley. So it
There's
says,
two.
Whereas, excuse me, oh, and Junior, is it both?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So it says, whereas the Teamsters 331 union contract requires the attached addendum for the water repairer and labor of boom driver positions held by Elwood Reed and Tim Foley. City Council desires to approve the attached addendum to their Teamsters contract. The Common Council of Egg Harbor City attaches. Could you explain it, Meg, so that we know, or Jody?
I'll defer to Jody.
Jody, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry,
this,
which
one? Number 12.
As we've discussed in previous meetings, moving Tim Foley is most likely going to be moving over to Public Works when Ricky Tobias leaves. We don't have a position in the contract specific for a Labor One motor broom driver. The motor broom driver that's been there, it is a very, it's a, the salary in the contract is specific to that employee. Since when the contract was done, all the employees were out of steps. So this is kind of just amending the contract to add in that position. And then also we realized when the contract was done, it had been changed so that way every step had the same salary throughout the whole contract. We had an employee who bumped to the last step last year, and since there was no increase in the position this year, they would have gone a year and a half without any increase, unlike all the other employees. So it just gave them the same 1.3% increase on their anniversary that other employees that were out of steps got. Is that
Is there any questions on that? Okay. Can I get
a motion
on that, please?
Trifle move.
Second.
So move, Richie.
All right. All
and
in
a
favor?
Roll call. I need a
oh,
roll
need,
call.
Roll call, please.
Brown.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
Mays. Richie.
Yes.
Ross. Sefton.
Yes.
Trithall.
Yes.
Lello.
Yes. All right. Number 13, adopting employee COVID-19 out-of-state travel policy, which Angela went over with us. Could I get a motion on that?
So move, Sefton.
Second.
Dash will second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right. Who?
Trithall.
Richie.
You said no?
That's affirmative. I said no. Trithall.
Okay.
Richie, no.
All right.
This is for the COVID? Yeah, let's do a roll call. This was for the COVID? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do a roll call. Brown?
Yes.
Dash?
Yes.
Mays? I think we lost them. Richie?
No.
Ross? I think we lost him. Sefton?
Yes.
Trithall?
No.
Lello?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. Maybe Mays. Is Mays on there? I don't know what happened to Ross and Mays, but we can come back, I guess, right?
Yes.
Is that Cliff?
Can I add something to this if it's not too late? Is everybody voted?
Well, I'm missing Mays and Ross. We must have lost them.
How many affirmatives do you have, Meg?
We have four and two noes.
Okay, well, here's the problem. With this COVID issue, okay, it already has happened in Egg Harbor City, and it will continue to happen unless we have a policy. This policy protects the taxpayers of Egg Harbor City from paying salaries to people who choose willingly to go to COVID-infested states in the country. Okay, if you choose to go to a COVID state in the United States of America, then you're going to have to quarantine, and you're going to have to use your vacation time, and you're also going to have to use your comp time or whatever time you have, sick time, in order to pay to compensate you for the 14 days. You should not get a two-week vacation on the taxpayers of Egg Harbor City. And that's what this policy is about, plain and simple.
Angela, do you want to see if
Mayor was...
Cliff, are you there? Bob? I think we lost both of them.
Yeah. Somebody's dialing in.
Who just dialed in?
I'm trying to see who just got in. Cliff just got back on.
Cliff, I lost you.
Okay. Cliff, this is... Okay, so Cliff, this is for the COVID for the city employees.
Okay.
Okay.
You
want to explain that real quick, or Angela?
Yes. This is the employee policy in response to the governor's quarantine for travel to the 19 states that he's determined have high levels of COVID. So basically, if one of our employees chooses to travel to one of these 19 states, when they come back to New Jersey, they have to quarantine for 14 days. They also have to get a test. If they test positive, then they continue to quarantine. If they test negative, they notify their supervisor that they're negative and they come back to work. The problem is if they test positive and have to quarantine, then the city wants them to use their own accumulated time. That would be sick, vacation, comp, or personal. They can't be just paid 14 days to sit at home for no apparent good reason. So that's why we have this policy to make sure they use their personal time. Otherwise, they don't get paid.
Okay, thank you.
But so, Cliff, you were up yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Bob, are you there? Oh, we lost Bob. All right.
He is not, but we have enough to vote it through, yes.
Okay. All right, let's go to 14. Accepting
can
terms
I make,
of the...
Can I make comment? Can I make comment on that real quick?
Yes.
The reason why I said no is because, first of all, it's not required. It's voluntary, and it's strongly recommended by the governor. That was the last executive order that I've read. And second of all, he also stated that, you know, it is any first responder that is, presumed COVID-19 or is COVID-19 is presumed to be on the line of duty and is considered workman's comp. That's why I said no, because that's what he said on these executive orders that he stated. For this, so our police officers, you know, I know it doesn't kind of count for the fire department doing that they're volunteer, but the police officers, if they travel, less than 24 hours to just say Virginia, they're still covered under, they're still not covered because it's 24 hours that they have to travel. So, is there a specific time frame, or is it per the policy of the executive order that the governor gave out? And if we're doing that, then it's not mandatory. It's strongly recommended by the governor, but it's not mandatory or required.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm just looking at it as if I'm working for the city and I decide to travel there and I get it, I don't think it's fair that taxpayers have to pay for them to stay home for 2 weeks. And that's the only reason
they don't have to vote. They don't have to quarantine. It's not required. It's not law.
Correct.
It's recommended.
Correct.
It's suggested. And when have we forced an employee to take a COVID test?
That's correct.
That's going a little against, you know, their constitutional rights.
Correct.
That
okay.
was why I said, that's why I said no, Mr. President.
Okay.
I just wanted that on record.
Okay.
And that's the same reason I said no too, because we're dealing with it in our profession. All right, it has to be described fully. It is not mandated, it is recommended.
Okay, so you don't agree that it should be done.
They already
it's
voted
not,
no.
Not,
I know, I'm just giving
okay.
I
we're
gave
not
my
saying
reasons
that.
Why, and I just wanted it known publicly why I said no.
And same with me.
Okay. All right. We all good? We can move on?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Number 14, accepting the terms of the contract entered into by SJPC for electricity. Jody, can you explain this, please?
Yes. So we had voted back, I think it was in May, that we were going to participate. We've done this for probably close to 10 years or so that we've been part of this power co-op. So they went out for bid, then they did award the contract to two different energy suppliers. So they just ask once that it's completed that you pass a resolution to accept the terms of the contract.
Okay, and this is a contract that we had before. We've always had this contract?
Yeah. I'd say for close to 10 years, we've been a part of this. It's called the South Jersey. SJPC stands for South Jersey Power Co-op. I believe Camden County is the lead of this, and they go out to procure the electricity, and there's been cost savings. There's an executive summary that we have, if anybody wants to see it, of the results of the bid, but this is to accept the terms and go with the vendors that they awarded it to.
Okay, any questions?
Norman, I'm going to stop turning that damn thing off. I'm killing
her. I'm killing myself. All right, could I get
Jody, real quick. I'm sorry, Jody. We were interrupted by the comment there. Is it the same fees that we're paying, or has it gone up or down? Just curious.
I would have to look. I don't think there's any particular fees. It's just the rates of the for the electricity supply. This is just for the electricity supply.
Okay, so basically it's the same, or they would have went with somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah, there's always a cost savings,
okay.
Or else they wouldn't award it to them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I make the motion.
Okay,
Mr. President.
Trithaw made a motion.
Second. Okay, all
Brown.
In favor.
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Hey, I need to back up real quick. When we did the resolution for the Teamsters contract, okay? So just so everybody's aware, Elwood Reed gets the 1.3 increase, and Tim Foley's going to go to the 36.5 from what he's making presently, starting September 1st. Correct, Jody?
I think it was October 1st.
October 1st, yes.
Yeah,
Ricky's retiring as of October 1st.
Okay, but what about Elwood?
And Elwood's is actually retro back to June. His anniversary was in, I believe, June 6th.
Okay. All right, so just so everybody's aware of that, so you understand, because I didn't get to that page, and I apologize for that. All right, let's move on. The resolution, cancel grants.
So I'll explain this quickly. So it's mostly housekeeping. Basically, at the end of the year, on our balance sheet, there is the balances of any grants. So let's say you get a grant for $30,000, you spend $29,500. When it's all done and wrapped up, you need to cancel that ending balance. So these are grants that we've had. That we've completed the grant and the activity's all done. There's just balances left in them. So that's. Do you want me to read it out loud or anything? Or
No, I do have a question.
Sure.
The hazardous discharge site remediation.
Yeah.
Various. Could we have used that to take care of our drain systems for the
those were old grants. They're from back in way before I was even with the city. They're from like the early 2000s. They're grants that were completed, or for some reason the properties, they weren't really owned by the city. They had given us, you know, the owner or whatever had given us access, and the grant just, at this point, there's no more activity really to be completed. So we're just, that particular one has been on there. We phased it in over, I think, 4 or 5 years, because back when it was originally set up in the early 2000s, it wasn't really set up properly, so more money was spent than was ever received back. So rather than hurt the city all in one shot, we spread it out over a few years, so it would only be a very small amount that the city would kind of have to absorb.
Okay. Can I get a motion on this? Does everybody understand this? Any questions on this? All right. Can I get a motion on this?
So moved, Sefton.
A second?
Second, Brown.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. Before we go any further, I need to step back. We didn't, I see on here, the city engineer is not on here anywhere. So, Ryan, we're going to throw you right in here in the middle of this one, all right?
Not a problem.
I apologize for that, buddy.
No, quite all right. I'll just go through a couple things quickly. Atlantic Avenue, the pedestrian path, we're still making progress there. We submitted everything to Pinelands about a little over a month ago, a month and a half ago now. They're past their 30 days, but Fred Sieber, the reviewer, just called me today, left me a message saying he's going to try to get it out in the next couple days. He was waiting on stormwater, which he just got back today. So we should have something for that soon. Chicago Avenue, the 200 and 300 blocks, which we sort of shifted, so now we're the 300, the other half of the 400, and a little bit into the 200 block. That went into DOT. So hopefully we'll get approval to bid that, and we'll be able to bid that in the next couple of weeks. The Whippoorwill we already went over. I would like to highlight, though, as the tropical storm was coming through and, you know, it became apparent that it was going to be pretty bad and power was going out a lot of places, I reached out to Keith to see if he needed anything. And he said, yeah, you know, we're scrambling. We're sort of running pump station to pump station with this generator. We only have one. We got three pump stations that really need it. And I said, well, you know, we're communicating with New Jersey American Water. Let's see if they can help us out by chance. So we got in touch with some of their field guys, and they were able to actually bring us a generator from Cape May Courthouse that Keith was able to get set up at your biggest pump station, so he could just leave it there. That's the one that all of the other pump stations in the city end up pumping to. So that, you know, from what I understand, that really helped out Keith, you know, so they weren't just running around constantly. But, yeah, I mean, New Jersey American sent a guy. They delivered the generator around 11 o'clock that night. So it's a good start for the partnership. And the solar, the multi-site solar, we did talk about this before a little bit. We only got one bid. You know, we can look to expand our advertiser. We need to look at to try to, you know, expand the footprint a little bit. You know, I'd still like the opportunity to meet with the property committee to see, you know, what you guys think, if we want to reject and try to rebid, or if we want to proceed, you know, with the single bid that we got.
Ryan, I would like to open it up for discussion now, so we can get the ball rolling again, see what everyone on council wants to do, as far as taking into consideration the one and only bid that we received, or let's put it out to bid again, and see what we can do, maybe a broader spectrum. So anybody have any comments or any insight on what we should do?
I say we put it out again. I don't know how. When we put it out, would we put it in the press?
Yeah, we put it in the press of Atlantic City. You know, we generally have good success there, but, you know, sometimes things like this need a little broader reach. You know, so we can reach out to the Inquirer or somebody like that has a, you know, a national reach, Asbury Park Press, something like that. So we could definitely look at alternative publications to try to, you know, broaden the viewership of the ad.
All right. Is everybody okay with that? Is everybody in favor of doing that, putting it back out again?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea if we go to a broader publication that we'll get more, you know, like Ryan said, more maybe not national, but more regional.
Okay.
Yeah, just
all
more
right.
Eyes on it.
All right. So, what do you think, Ryan? The Inquirer. You think that'd be a good one?
We'll ask around. The advertising rates are shockingly different at different papers.
Right.
I've gotten quotes for like $70 in the Press, $100 for Asbury Park Press, and like $2,000 at the Inquirer. And then sometimes
wow.
They're, you know, right around. I'm not even kidding. A 60-line ad was $2,000 is what they quoted us. It's crazy. Anyway, I digress. But again, sometimes they're normal. So what we'll do is we'll shop it around, and then we'll sort of revisit and make sure that we get a publication that's, you know, large enough that we're comfortable that it's, you know, improving our chances. And then we'll proceed with that.
All right, Ryan, just give us a holler back, like send us an email or something. That way we can get back to you on it.
Yeah, I'll circulate it to the property committee group so we can, you know, have an active discussion without having a public meeting via email.
Okay, great. That'd be awesome.
And then,
all right, Meg, do you need
oh, gosh.
No, I was going to say, Meg, do you need a motion for that or not?
I did get a motion from Dash and seconded by Sefton.
For it to go out to bid again?
Yes.
Well, okay. To reject and read.
Okay. Thank you,
yeah,
Ryan.
We're just going to yeah, thank you, Ryan. You got anything else, pal?
Two more quick things. I'm sure you've noticed by now, but the work on Route 30 has started. Right now they're working day shift. They're over on Atlantic Avenue installing water main. Today, as a result, they had to do a water main crossing under a storm drain, and they found that your old clay pipe was falling apart. So you're getting a free 43 feet of storm drain replaced. So that was nice.
Awesome.
yeah, every little bit helps.
Yeah.
And then Wawa, I was able to review the compliance plans with Wawa, so they're pretty much signed off on the city side. So you know, hopefully they'll be getting their final pine land sign off. And getting out to construction soon.
I hope so.
So
thank
that's
you.
All I have.
That's all you got?
That's it, unless somebody has questions.
Okay, anybody got questions? All right, the other person we missed was the CFO. Joe, do you have a report?
No, I don't have anything special tonight, thank you.
Okay, I apologize for missing you. We'll try to do better. Let's go to 16, resolution revised municipal alliance grant. I think the mayor touched on that. Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just what the mayor had talked about earlier tonight, that the funding for fiscal year 21 has been reduced. As of right now, the funds are frozen for the current year, but we'll see what happens. But yeah. That's really it.
Okay. Can I get a motion on that?
So move, Richie.
So move, Sefton. Back in.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. 17, online municipal, what you call it, municipal auction. So,
Mr. President, I have a question. Mr. President,
yes.
This is Trifle. I'm looking at the if I can go back to my page, the agenda. We're missing the where the heck is it? About the drug and alcohol. It's not on the list for but it's on our resolution. It is the resolution for authorized execution of the grant agreement with Atlanta County.
What number is that, Scott?
It's not a number, it's I have it on my it says agenda items. It's number 8 on my. It's it's page number 7 out of 14 for the resolution. It says authorized execution of grant agreement with Atlanta County.
That's what we just did.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry, I missed that. My apologies.
That was the alliance.
Oh, that was the alliance. Okay, I didn't see the alliance.
That was number
16
on the agenda.
Okay, my apologies. That's when I got that got. Cut by the governor. Okay, my apologies, Mr. President.
No, it's all good. All right, so back to the online municipal auction. We are going to put on this auction a 2007 International Dump Truck. That's the one that's sitting over at the water plant. If you're interested, it's one we don't use. It has 19,000 miles on it. It's in really good shape, and we're going to put that up for $40,000. The other items are going to be a 1998 Ford Crown Vic for $500, six Panasonic Toughbooks, and a lot of computers, phones, and municipal office equipment for $100. They must be pretty old stuff that we're putting them up there.
Yeah.
Joe, you.
Because I never heard of a Panasonic Toughbook, so.
Joe, what is the Crown Vic?
What that was.
Is there any questions?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the Crown Vic is that's being put up for auction.
It's the old one.
It's sitting over at Highway. It's been sitting over at Highway. It's the old. It's the old one from Code.
Okay.
I believe, right?
Thank you.
That's the one that's got the front end shot on it. It's got Keith had told us a while back that it was in really bad shape. The highway meeting. And
we
it's just
it earlier.
Yeah.
Well, Crown Vic is really police department vehicles, and that's under the mayor's purview. So I'm just checking.
No, this doesn't have lights or nothing on it.
Could be
right,
a code enforcement vehicle.
Any other questions on this stuff? All right, could I get a motion?
Second round.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, if anybody, just real quick, if anybody's not familiar, Municipid is the new one that is state, it's a state contract. Is that correct, Jody?
Yes.
And
the fees are lower with that?
Yeah. Okay, all right. Number 18. Renew agreement with Egg Harbor City Public School District for resource officers. These are class 4, class 3 officers, is that correct?
Yes.
It's a long read, but this is for the officers that are stationed at the schools during school time.
Right. They're the SROs. They're class 3 officers.
Thank you, Mayor. That's what it was, SROs. I couldn't remember that. Any questions on that? You know what? I do have a question. If the school decides to go and not have school and do it through the computers, are those guys like kind of furloughed or laid off or something?
No. Probably the estimate is about half the school population will attend the live program for school, and half will do the virtual, so they still will serve a purpose in the school.
Okay, and okay, that's all I had. Thank you. Could I get a motion on that?
So moved.
Second?
Second, Sefton.
Roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
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 19. Renew liquor licenses, July 1, 2020 through July 30th, 2021. Planarium retail consumption, one for Leatherheads and one for Gennaro's. Who's the first one for, Meg?
Leatherheads and Gennaro's. That's it. They're just the renewal, they're yearly renewals. They're coming in dribs and drabs because the governor gave an extension.
Okay. Can I get you? Did you need a roll call on that?
No, I just need a motion and a second.
Can I get a motion?
So moved. So moved, Sefton.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. 20. Fill list. I have a question. Jody could probably answer this quicker.
Sure.
Hey, Judy, on the bill list, on it says the utilities and DPW shirts.
Yeah.
But it shows it on page 6 and page 11.
Hold on, let me take those. It's probably because a piece is charged to Public Works and a piece is charged to utility, depending, you know, each piece would go to that department.
But how come the amount's not split?
There probably were more for one than the other. Let me see. Page 6, you said?
Yes, page 6. Just have to find it here.
Page 6 was 260, and then
page 11, it shows the same price. I was just curious if it was just it shows the same number, but it's split between them.
Oh, yeah, it was just split between utility and public works, exactly.
Okay, so it's not 260 twice, it's 130, 130.
No, it's 260 to each department.
How come it shows it as utility / Department of Public
Works?
That's
just the description on the shirts. It was just the same description on the line item. But so half of it got charged to utility and half of it got charged to Public Works, 260 to each department.
Okay. And then was that the other one? Yes, and that was all I had. I noticed that, okay. And I figured it was a easy question to answer.
Yep. Yeah.
Could I get a motion to pay the bills?
So move, Richard.
So move, Brown.
All right. Roll call.
Brown.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
Mays.
Yes.
Richie.
Yes.
Ross. Sefton.
Yes.
Trifel.
Yes.
Lello.
Yes. All right. Number 21, public comment. Is there a public comment out there?
Please state your
name and address.
It's Frank Igliotti, 110 Arago.
Yes, sir, Mr. Gigliotti.
Yes, sir. How's everybody doing tonight? I've been very impressed with the board meeting and the issues that have been discussed, and I'd like to add something to it, if I could. I'd like to say good evening, and I'd like to. Is it okay to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to address the speed limit on Arago Street, or should I say Arago Highway. Motorists are exceeding speeds of 45 to 50 miles per hour. Motorcycles even more. There have been complaints made to the city's police department. I myself have filed written complaints to the past 3 years, and so have my neighbors. The problem we have is signage. As per a recent inspection conducted by the city's safety director, Mark Emmer, there is a lack of signage in the city regarding speed limits. The speed limit in the residential areas are 25 miles per hour. Residents are putting their own signs up in some areas which say slow down. After you pass the big gully in the street at Washington Avenue, heading northwest on Arago in the direction of the old Acme and also coming in the opposite direction, you have a half mile that allows motorists to accelerate speeds. Yes, there are quiet times, but for the most part, it's hell on wheels. It's not fair to the residents such as myself who live here on Arago Street to be subject to this. It just takes a second for a child to run out in the street for a ball to get run over. This presents a safety issue. We have children and grandchildren that visit us, residents who take casual walks and bike rides on Arago Street. The motorists who drive through here have no regard for public safety. They are careless and insensitive and disrespectful to those who live on this street. If you tell them to slow down, they give you the finger. I would like to propose that stop signs be placed on corners between Washington Avenue and New York Avenue and to be extended to the dead end of Arago Street. Safety Director Mark Emmer has a plan for all this. I'm requesting that the board meet with Mr. Emmer to discuss such action to be taken to eliminate this problem. Arago Street is a residential street, not a highway or an avenue. Violators should be ticketed once signs are posted. I have also discussed the matter with Mayor Giampetti, and she feels that stop signs would be a great idea. In closing, I would like to thank our police department, who do a great job to protect us during these trying times, and we could use an additional few more officers. Thank you for your time, and I hope you will consider the above proposal. I really appreciate it, and thank you.
Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Mark, I'll let
just
you
a few
run. I'll let you run with
All right, just a few things. When Mayor Giampetti contacted me that Mr. Gabbiati had an issue, I went out directly and spoke with him concerning it. One of what we did, we on three different days, on July 28th, July 29th, and August 5th, we placed officers in running radar on New York and Arago to try to get an idea of the speed of cars out there. The 3 days, we clocked maybe 20 cars out there. One car was going 41 miles an hour, which we stopped and gave them a ticket. All the other cars that we clocked were not exceeding, or they were, if they were exceeding the speed limit when we were there, of course, it was only by a couple miles an hour, and we chose not to ticket them. We did look into the possibility of placing one of the big signs on New York Avenue that, you know, that you can type in and it says slow down. The county has several of them. However, when we contacted the county, we were told that they will only give them to us to put on county roads. And of course, Arago isn't a county road, so we couldn't do that. I did look into stop signs after I spoke with Mr. Gigliotti. I checked with several people, and I'm told, and I believe this is correct, that stop signs can't be used, believe it or not, this is the rules, stop signs can't be used to slow traffic down. Stop signs can only be placed when there's a safety issue that's involved. And I understand that Mr. Gigliotti feels it's a safety issue, and with kids playing in the area and things like that, I would tend to agree with him if there's children and bicyclists and stuff riding in the area. I went back and spoke to Mr. Gigliotti on a second occasion, and told him that we checked the city, and it does seem to be that there's a lack of speed limit 25 mile an hour signs throughout the city. I checked, and there were 8 such signs on St. Louis Avenue, and through the rest of the city, I only counted 7 signs. So maybe the possibility of at least putting some extra speed limit 25 mile an hour signs would help, and it would rest the area up rather than people making their own personal signs. It's much more professional having the signs that we're supposed to have. I had Keith Adams price the signs for me, and the speed limit 25 mile an hour signs really aren't that expensive. I think the sign, the post, and the hardware run somewhere around $50-$60 a piece. So that would be an extra expense to get them. But it wouldn't be. I don't think it would be a bad idea to put them up.
Yeah, if I can say something. After you pass Washington Avenue, I believe there's approximately a half a mile. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, something needs to be done to break that up. It's just after you hit that gully, people are slowing down before that gully because they don't want to lose their front ends. But after you pass that gully, it's nothing but pedal to the metal, okay? And I'm sure if any one of you lived on Arago Street, you would be complaining because it's outrageous. Now, you can post officers there. I've seen them. I've discussed this with the police department several times. They've helped me. They've placed cars there. But if we need video, I'd be glad to sit out there. I'm retired, and I'd be glad to videotape the speeders that are coming by, okay? But like Mark said, there's times when it is peaceful, like right now. It's pretty quiet. But after 2 o'clock, bada-boom. It's reckless.
All right.
It's just reckless.
All right, sir. What I will tell you is we will definitely look into – we'll start with getting some signs out there, some speed limit signs out there. We will start with Arago and work our way down on both sides to try to fulfill some of the 25-mile-an-hour signs. And hopefully going forward with the police, the extra police officers that we have from the Sheriff's Department now, we may be able to get some more out there and – maybe it'll slow some of this down, and we will do our best to try to get this controlled for you.
Mr. President, is there any way that we could somehow break it up a little bit? I mean, you know, a four-way wouldn't hurt.
I would like to weigh in on that, please, if I could,
yes.
Angelo.
We had
a plan several years ago to put stop signs on those side streets, Arago, Claudius, Beethoven, whatnot. But there are certain areas like Arago and Beethoven that are very bad. And just like we did on Claudius on Havana, we need to put more stop signs out to slow the traffic down. And we did have a plan to do that at one time, and then it went by the wayside. And I really think that plan has to be instituted. Ryan, if you're still on the call, you were a part of that. You and past Council President Ed Dennis had a plan to do that in increments as to slow down the traffic. And it's been very successful on Claudia Street, and I think it could be successful on Arago and Beethoven because there's a lot of residents who are not weighing in on this conversation that do see the speeding on Beethoven Street also.
Yeah, there's a...
And Mark, you and I agree on this, that there's a big span of road that does not have a stop sign on it. And you and I agree on this, Mark, that it should be somehow slowed down a little bit with a stop sign. There's a great...
I agree with you 100%. The only thing that I would interject is, and Ryan, I think you can, because we had this discussion, is I was told, and if this is correct, I'm just going by what I was told. I was told that you can't put a stop sign up for speeding. Is that correct, Ryan?
Yeah. So the state does not recognize stop signs for speeding,
but they do recognize personal safety.
Yes.
Yeah, you are allowed to.
Hey, Ryan.
Allowed to put in stop signs for
I was going to say, to get around that, you know, in addition to what Mark was saying with the stop sign for speeding and all that, can we put, like, caution children at night and then put a stop sign? Because that'll cover the safety factor.
Well, we actually have a stop sign on Claudius and freaking Havana Avenue, I believe it's Havana, that we put in that slows down the traffic a bit, and that wasn't per any type of restriction by the state. We just did it because they're city roads and we can do whatever we want to do.
So the
I would be willing to write up a report that it's a safety issue. I mean, I could do that, no problem.
Yeah, you're allowed to install them for conflicting movements, for conflicts with pedestrians, for general safety improvements. But if you generate a report that says we're putting in a stop sign to reduce speed, and someone gets a ticket there and fights it, and you know you guys disclose all of that information and they get that in discovery, you will lose. So that's why I'm trying to steer this conversation towards, if it's in the interest of public safety and not in the interest of speed control, then that's something
right.
we can pursue. We've added four-way stops at numerous locations in the city, and I'm certainly supportive of that. I'm just trying to steer the conversation so people understand if your justification is speed control, it will not hold up. That's all.
All right. So as I stated, sir, we will look into doing something with this at this point. We just ask you to be a little bit patient, and I'm sure Mr. Emmer will – make sure that there's a couple more patrols out there to see if we could slow some of that stuff down till we get this sorted out. Is that okay with you?
Listen, you know, this city's a great city, all right? I really like it here, all right? You know, it has a lot to offer. There's no reason, you know, why we can't do something about this as proposed for a safety issue. I really appreciate whatever you guys could do. There's neighbors here that are across from me. Dominic lives across from me. Lester lives on the next street. They were supposed to call in tonight, but obviously they're not on the line. But, you know, I guess residents don't want to stay on the line and hear all the chatter and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But they're good at talking about it, you know, but I'm the one that, you know, that had to present this. And I just think it's only fair to those that live on the street. There's people in the middle of the blocks. They could care less. I mean, it's not that they don't, that they care less. It's just that they're not victimized by it, if you can understand.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And as I stated, can you just give us a little bit of time? We will start working on this as soon as we can, Monday. I mean, we have to have a meeting. We got to look into getting, there's a lot of stuff that we have to get together. So I just ask you to be patient and we will work on this.
I want to thank everybody. And I also want to thank the mayor. I really appreciate it.
Mr. President.
Yes.
This is Councilman Freithal. I'd like to make a motion to authorize Director Emmer to conduct a safety study on Arago Avenue and then report back to us his recommendations.
Did I get a second?
I'll second that. Dash.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. There you go, sir. Is that good for you?
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night, and if you need a volunteer, I'm here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Yep, no problem.
Mayor.
We'll talk.
Okay.
Is there anybody else from
the
public?
Yes, Amy Kramer, 137 Chicago Avenue.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Reed had to go to sleep. You guys were late tonight. He asked me to read something for him in regards to the recent storm and the way that, you know, people step up around here. And he just wanted to say that volunteers don't need to be asked for help. No one asked him to get involved. He chose to be involved when he saw the need. Angelo doesn't wait to be asked for help. He sees a problem he can do something about, and he does something about it. It comes from within. I've seen and worked with Lisa and Angelo, and that was where he left off. But that's what he wanted to say, just that we were both talking about how all the problems that there are in the city, whenever anything does happen, people just come out. I don't know how many different things I've read on social media about Angelo stopping. And someone actually came up to us last night and was telling us that Angelo just, like, pulled over while this woman was trying to get a tree out of her yard, and he just, like, you know, jumped right to it. So it's just really nice to live someplace like that where, you know, there's a lot of people that are always willing to volunteer their time. And my comment that I would like to say in regards to the speeding, some of you know my porch is right up on the sidewalk, and we're on a block that is a stop sign on each end, and that doesn't stop these people from getting up to, like, as fast as they can. I don't know how often they're replacing their brakes every year. But, you know, in addition to that, lately I'm seeing people on dirt bikes doing wheelies down the middle of the block. I sit on my porch and drink coffee and tea throughout the day, and I see some really wild stuff. Quads driving down the street. You know, they're in the middle of the street. The one guy likes to do the wheelies. They're not wearing helmets. I don't think that any of this is street legal. And I know the police aren't allowed to chase them, but I don't know, you know, if y'all are aware of it, but I you know, I keep seeing it a lot over the last several weeks. So that's all I have.
All right, just a quick question from the police department. If you see this, please contact the police department. Call us and let us know when you see it, because then we can make sure, you know, that we try to immediately take some action while they're there.
I didn't call because I know that there's, like, rules against, you know, pursuing them. You know, they're gonna take off, and I don't want anybody to get hurt. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, but you never know. You know, I mean, it's worth a quick call to us, though. We would appreciate it.
I was in news. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I watched the guy ride his dirt bike up the street to the Wawa, and I was gonna try to get a picture when he came back. So I was standing there, and then out of nowhere, it just started absolutely downpouring. So, you know, he got punished a little bit at least. But, yeah, all right. That's all. I don't want to take too long. It's past my bedtime.
Thank you. Anybody else? Is there anybody else on the line?
Good night.
All right.
I make a motion to close public comments. Oh.
All right. Can I get a second?
Second, Brown.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Y'all have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah.